Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
And then there was one.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Sirius Satellite Radio plans to buy its rival XM. Price tag is $4.5 billion, but the big question is, will this marriage ever be consummated? You see, both when the FCC agreed back in 97 to allow the creation of both services, it prohibited them from merging. But FCC Chairman Kevin Martin seems open to the possibility. In an email statement yesterday, he said both companies would need to show that consumers would be better off with both more choice and affordable prices. However, the National Association of Broadcasters is firmly opposed. The organization is a lobbying group for radio and TV station owners, and it's calling on the government to toss the deal. FCC approval is required before that merger can take effect. A major European investment bank is forecasting a slump in world financial markets. Dresdner Kleinwort says, according to its Fear and Greed Index, the end is nigh for the bull market. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
The Fear and Greed Index measures the global market's appetite for risk. It compares the price of shares with the price of bonds. When the index is low, fear is the dominant emotion. Investors tread warily. But when it's high, greed is in the driving seat, and no one seems to believe that prices can fall. The index, says Dresdner Kleinwort, has just hit an all-time high. And that, if past performance is anything to go by, means a full-scale slump in riskier assets could be in the offing. But the authors of the Fear and Greed Index do not expect euphoric investors to heed their warning. Said one of them, it'll be about as effective as yelling cliff edge to a thundering herd of lemmings. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Wall Street took the day off Monday in honor of President's Day. It hopes to pick up today where it left off last week when both the Dow and NASDAQ rose by 1.5%. Earnings from Walmart and Home Depot are scheduled to be released today. Here we go again. Warner Music Group has made another takeover offer for British music company EMI. Less than a year ago, these two abandoned efforts to buy each other. Then they were concerned the combination would be blocked by European Union regulators. Now analysts say Warner is betting regulators will be more flexible given current conditions. Last week, EMI said it had seen an unprecedented level of market decline and an exceptionally high level of product returns in the U.S. Deciding how to spend public health care dollars isn't easy. A new study out today says healthcare professionals might hand out the dollars differently than you or I would. Janet Babin reports from the Marketplace Innovations Desk at North Carolina Public Radio.
The survey asked doctors and nurses to rank how they'd spend public money for healthcare. Like the general public, those surveyed said they'd spend the most on vaccinating kids and the least on cancer treatment for smokers. Glenn Salkeld at the University of Sydney talked to hundreds of professionals from six countries. He says for the most part, their views were in line with those of the general population. But Salkeld says the two groups are split on how much money to spend on life-saving interventions.
The public like the idea of a heart transplant. It's high-tech, it's life-saving. The health professionals think, well, yep, that's important, but it's very expensive, and perhaps the money can be better spent elsewhere.
The pros also said more money should be spent on preventing disease. The study was published in the Public Library of Science Medicine. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Women are making big gains when it comes to jobs in America. According to the Wall Street Journal, they took just over half the jobs created in the U.S. during the first part of this decade. Women also gained ground in grabbing some of the most lucrative job openings. The Bureau of Labor Statistics says between 2000 and the year 2005, men picked up 1,800,000 jobs. Women gained 1,996,000 jobs, or 52.5% of the total increase.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation, online at kauffman.org. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Calvert.com.
Mahmoud Ahmadinejad rose from almost total obscurity to become president of the Islamic Republic of Iran. The international community is focused on Iran's nuclear program. But commentator and author Reza Aslan says Iranians are focused on more basic issues.
Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad defeated his more politically experienced presidential rivals by campaigning on a single platform, reforming Iran's economy. He promised to distribute oil revenues to the poor, make housing more affordable, and root out corruption in the government. He said he'd provide more jobs and give the merchant class greater access to international markets. It was a message with great appeal to Iranians, nearly 40% of whom live below the poverty line. But under his presidency, Iran's economy has gone from bad to worse. Unemployment has swelled to near record highs. Housing prices have soared, as have prices for meat and produce. And foreign imports have dropped dramatically. At one point last year, the country's stock market lost 25% of its value. Dropping oil prices haven't helped. Oil revenues account for more than 50% of Iran's budget. Faced with the almost total failure of his economic agenda, Ahmadinejad did what any politician in his position would do. He changed the subject. He focused his presidency almost exclusively on Iran's pursuit of nuclear technology, even though, according to Iran's constitution, the president has no say in the country's nuclear program. The ruse didn't work, and now Iranians are beginning to turn against their president. Students protest his appearances and heckle his speeches. His political allies were soundly beaten in recent municipal elections. Not long ago, 150 government members signed an open letter criticizing his domestic policies. There is even talk in Iran of impeachment. There is a lesson in all this. Sometimes, the best way to achieve regime change is to let internal politics take its course.
Reza Aslan is author of No God But God. Your thoughts? Send your email to marketplace.org. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.